Ministers Retreat. Brother Alan Shum, who's ministered a number of times here, he gave a word about the open door. We're going to read about that in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the keys of David, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. This is what he writes to the church at Philadelphia. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Everyone say an open door. The Lord says, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. I have set before thee an open door. Revelation 1 tells us that John was instructed to write a book to the seven churches. The seven churches were Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And what we've just read in Revelation 3 is a letter to the church in Philadelphia. Most of the letters in Revelation to the seven churches concluded words of commendation and words of condemnation. But in the letter to the church of Philadelphia, the words are commendation. No complaints in this letter. It's all positive. He says, you have a little strength. You have kept my word. You haven't denied my name. I have set before thee an open door. Everyone say an open door. An open door. I want to preach tonight for a few moments. The door swings both ways. Turn to your neighbor and say, the door swings both ways. Praise God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, speak to us through your word. Let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As we receive your word tonight, help us to receive reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Lord, help us to be built up, Lord. Let lives be changed by the power of your word. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. The door swings both ways. You may be seated. The door swings both ways. The letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia was that there was an open door. An open door is symbolic. But what does it mean to have an open door? I want to say at the outset of this message tonight that I believe God would have us tonight, and listen carefully, that God would have us as individuals to settle the direction of our life. To settle the issue of our direction in our spiritual walk. To settle the issue of the direction in our life. Are we in or are we out? Are we on or are we off? This is one of those messages. It's like a choose you this day message. It's going to be a challenge. And I believe on Sunday night we had five great speakers speak. And I believe that the service was very, very challenging. And yes, again, we're in the house of God and we're going to be challenged. Are we hot or are we cold? Are we Christians or are we people of the world? An open door. See, being a Christian and being in the church is all about loving Jesus Christ. Everyone say loving Jesus Christ. It's pretty simple. When you boil everything down, everything that we do, all of our priorities, if you can throw that next slide up, all the worship and all the preaching and church attendance, it all comes down to loving Jesus. And we must be careful as a church and as a people that our focus remains on loving Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Everything we do as Christians is motivated by a love for Jesus Christ. It's motivated by a love for Jesus Christ. Prayer. Why do we pray? We pray because we love Jesus. Amen. Prayer is communicating with God. We do it because we love Him. Why do we worship? Why do we come to church with our hands raised and our heads bowed or our heads lifted up and giving beautiful words of worship? Why do we do it? Because we love Jesus. Why do we obey the Word of God? Why do we obey this Bible and what is written in here? Why do we obey the commandments? Why do we obey the red letters in the Bible? It's all because we love Jesus. Everyone say we love Jesus. It's simple. Why do we live a different lifestyle? Why aren't we like the world? Why don't we do the things that the world does? Let me tell you why we're different. Because we're living a separate life because we love Jesus. You see, being a Christian and being in the church, and I use that word church as the body of Christ as we've been studying in our home friendship groups, it's all about loving Jesus Christ. At the foundation of everything we do, at the foundation of our time and our efforts and our worship and our prayer and our lifestyle, it all boils down to one thing. I love Jesus. I do what I do because I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Why? Because He first loved me. While I was yet a sinner, He died for me. He loved me. He commended His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I get out of bed in the morning because I love Jesus. I came to church this morning because I love Jesus. This is what it's all about today. I'm sorry that it's not deeper and more theological for all the brains out there, but the Christian walk just boils down to this. Do you love Jesus? And everything we do is motivated by a love for Jesus Christ. To the angel of the church, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. An open door. Doors. Doors. Open doors. Sister Hannah, what do we use doors for?
Getting in and out.
Getting in, and what was the second part?
Out.
Getting out. Pretty simple, isn't it? We use doors for getting in and getting out. Simple. That door is there. Well, you can't really get in on that one, sorry. That's an outdoor. But those doors there, and that door is an in and out door. It's pretty simple. That an open door or a door that is there so we can get in and we can get out. You want to preach the rest of my message? That's basically it. We can get in and we can get out. And I've heard it preached many times about this open door of blessings, so blessings can flow into your life, and this open door of God's favor, so the favor of God can come into your life, and so we can step into the promises of God and all these wonderful things. But as I heard Brother Sham preach about the open door, I'm reminded that, Sister Hannah, doors are for going in and going out. And the angel of the church said to the church at Philadelphia, I have set before thee an open door. You can go in or you can come out. You can come into the church or you can walk out of the church. Now, I previously had only viewed this open door as a door of opportunity, a door of unprecedented privilege, a door of favor, a door of bountiful blessings in our life, and a door of spiritual benefit that we could just walk in. To all of those things. And I believe that. But there's more to a door than just walking in and stepping into all these benefits. If you consider this scripture a little bit closely, you'll see that the door swings both ways. It's for walking in and it's for walking out. And here's my message in a nutshell. Today, church, we need to set the record straight in our life. We need to draw a line in the sand. Tonight's service needs to be one of those milestone services, a church where I choose you this day. And I want to tell you boldly and without hesitation that God will not only let you in the church, but He'll let you get out of the church. It's an open door. I have set before thee an open door. And I boldly proclaim that, yes, God will let you into His body and His church, But the door is also open if you want to walk out. It's the open door. In fact, the Bible says so clearly, and we read it this morning, that we must endure to the end if we want to be saved. The opportunity is there for you to give up and to quit and to walk out the door, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You see, a door is not just a means of entry, it's also a means of exit. God set before this restored church of Philadelphia, he set an open door. It was a church that was commended by him. It was a church that had not denied his name. It was a church that had strength, even though a little strength. They had a little strength. It was a church that had kept the word. They were a good bunch of people, a good bunch of Christians. It was a church that had power. It was a church that had love. It was a church that had a promise, but it also had an open door. I submit to you today that the open door is dangerous. It's not nice to think that the door's there and we could be in the church today and gone tomorrow. It's not nice to think that somebody could be on fire for God and walking back to their old life of sin tomorrow. But that open door is there by divine option. God said that he would not allow anybody to shut it. The open door. The door which will never be shut is not only an open door from the world to the church, but I'm sorry to say I've seen it all too often that the open door is also a door from the church to the world. It's an open door. It's a means of entry and a means of exit. And I wish it wasn't that way. I wish we could say that once we came in the door that we could walk, the door was shut and we were always in and never out. We see with Adam and Eve in the first story in the Bible, it was God's plan that they would live a peaceable, righteous life in the garden. But what happened? They chose to walk out the door. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish that, you know, once we were in the church, that we would never go out. But the door is not just a door from the world to the church. It's a door from the church to the world. I submit to you that this is the way that God wants it to be. He says, I have put before you an open door that no man can shut. It's as if God is saying, I don't want people, listen now, this is important what I'm about to say. I don't want people feeling that somebody is making them praise me. I don't want the church feeling like they have to worship me. I don't want anybody feeling like they have to get up on Sunday morning and they have to come and worship God. I don't want them feeling that they have to love me. I don't want anybody to come and worship me if they don't want to be here. And God says, that's why I'm leaving the door open. In fact, it just seems a lot, when I think about it, it seems a lot like the tree in the Garden of Eden. I wish it wasn't there. But if there wasn't a tree, there couldn't be a loving relationship with God. If there wasn't a choice to sin, how could they choose to love? And God's saying to the church, he says, I have set before thee an open door. You've got a choice. I'm not forcing you to love me. I'm not forcing you to worship me. I'm not forcing you to live for me. The door is open. You can walk away at any time. The door swings both ways. God wants everything we do. I'll go back to my first point, to be motivated by a love for him. I'm here because I love Jesus. I came in the door. I'm worshiping because I love Jesus. I got up early this morning because I love Jesus. I gave him my tithes and offerings because I love Jesus. God wants everything we do to be motivated by a love for him. You see, without a choice, there can be no love. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says, set your affections on things above. Or the other option is, well, the Bible says set your affection on things above, but you're also open to set your affections on things down here. And a lot of people do. A lot of people, all they care about is the things in this world. Church, some of us have been in the church for a long time. And I think sometimes, and I've said it before, that we need to get a revelation of what it was like before we came to Jesus. Maybe God just give us a dream of the torment and the feelings we had before we came to Jesus. See, some of us have been here such a long time that we don't realize the culture that God has delivered us from. And that's why we start trying to, we come into church and we're on fire for God. We've been saved. We've been saved out of a stinking world, a world full of sin, and we're so on fire for God. But as time goes on, we forget where God has saved us from, and we start to drift back towards the world again. I'm not saying that we walk out and start sinning, but we start to try and find a line as close to that old person that we used to be. Trying to find the line, the fine line. Where can I live? How close can I live to the world? You see, if we didn't, you know, if we got to realize that God has delivered us from all those things. We don't want to go back there. Everything I do is motivated by a love for Jesus. He commended his love towards us that while I was a sinner, he died on the cross for us. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is that God will not allow anybody to shut the door that stands open before the church. God will not do it himself, nor will he allow anyone else to do it. He won't be coerced. He won't be forced. He won't coerce or force anybody to live for him. It's an open door. Everyone say an open door. We've got to choose to be a Christian. I choose. Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. The decision lies in your court. I preached about it today, about this morning, about the consequences of our decisions, the direction that our life can take because of our decisions. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be different from this world. I choose to live a life for Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 21, and we're going to read from verse 2. One of the most powerful stories of love in the Bible can be found in the book of Exodus chapter 2. 21 and verse 2. It's this story about the love slave in Exodus 21. It goes on and we see three verses starting with a two-letter word, if. Everyone say if. If. Verse 2 of Exodus 21 says, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go free for nothing. He can leave. Okay, after 6 completed years, the servant can go free. Nothing owing, free. If he came in by himself, here it is. If he came in alone, he shall go out alone. He goes out by himself. And if he were married, yeah, if he got married, then when he came in with his wife, he's going to go out with his wife. And so the servant, after the 6 completed years, whatever he came in with, he gets to leave with. If his master has given him a wife and she has borne him sons or daughters, okay, the wife and her children shall be who? The master's. So you get to leave with what you brought. But what you got in the master's house stays, listen, stays in the master's house. You walk out of the master's house, you don't get to take what you got in the master's house. If you came in alone, you leave alone. If you came with your wife, you leave with your wife. But if the master blessed you, the blessings stay in the house. Leave your finger there because we're going to go back there. I want you to understand that there was a purchase. There was a business transaction. But there was still the possibility that the love slave could depart. Then we go down to verse 5, Exodus chapter 21, verse 5 and 6. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. Everyone say, I love my master. I love my wife and my children. I will not go out free. And so after the 6 years, if he shall plainly say, I love my master, he can stay. He can stay on after the 6 years, but he must plainly say, everyone say plainly. He must plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out free. You see, It says, and if the servant shall say, the servant's in control here. If the servant shall say, you see, the law said he could go. The law said, you're free to go. After 6 years, you are free to go. The law said he was free. The law said the master had no more power over him. The door was open to walk away. But if the servant shall plainly say, if he is going to stay with the master, he's going to have to plainly say. He can't mumble it. He can't say it half-hearted. He can't whisper it. He has to plainly say, I love my master. It ought to be plainly said, I love my Jesus. I'm staying. I love my Savior. I'm a child of God. We're in a day of cloudy commitments where nobody wants to be committed and nobody wants to be fully consecrated. Everybody wants to live with one foot in both camps. But I'm here to tell you today that we've got to choose who we're going to serve, and we've got to be able to plainly say, I love my Jesus. I love my Lord, my Savior. I love my Master. And look at this. After he has plainly said, we go to verse 6. The servant has said, I love my Master. I'm staying. Then his Master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall bring him to the door. Or unto the doorpost. I wonder why he brought him to the door. Brother James, I wonder why he brought him to the door. He got his servant. He says, come with me. You said it with your mouth. Now come to the door. Look out there. Here it is. You're here with the master. But look at all the options in the world. Look at all the lights. Look at all the things you could be having out there. Look at all the money and the popularity. When you've seen it all, that's what's out there. You know what's in here. You got to be able to plainly say, no, I love my master. You can sit down. I've seen it all. I've seen the world. I've been there. I've tasted of it. And when that's what the Lord's going to say. The door is open. Anytime you want to walk out, you're free to go. There's nothing holding you here. But what's going to keep you in the house of God? What's going to keep you serving God is for you to plainly say, I love my Jesus. That's what's going to keep us. Young people, we worry about our young people all the time, that they're going to grow up and they're going to serve God. But the most important thing you can do, young people, is fall in love with Jesus. That's what will keep you. We'll teach you, we'll help you, we'll support you, but we can't put a love for Jesus inside of you. You've got to be able to plainly say, when you've seen all the options this world has to offer, I love my master. That's what's going to keep you. A love for Jesus. Bishop Downs, what's kept you all these years serving God? It's a love for Jesus. It's just a simple love for Jesus. He takes him to the door. He says, you're a free man. I got no right to make you stay. I have no law to keep you here. I can't demand you to stay here. You're free. You have to make a decision. And I'm not going to let you make it at the foot of the table. I'm not going to let you make it at the banqueting table. I'm not going to let you make it while we're feasting. And young people, it's easy when, and I'm talking to everybody when I talk to the young people, but they're easy to preach to. They're like sponges. But it's easy to say when we're dancing and worshiping God in church, oh, I just love Jesus. It's easy to say I love the master when we're sitting down having a nice big feed at the table. But the master realized, he took him to the door. He said, you can't make decisions like this at the banqueting table. You can't make decisions like this when you're feasting. He took him to the door and said, that's what's on offer. When you go to school, the greatest words you can say when you're tempted, when people are trying to encourage you to do the wrong thing, when there's peer pressure, when everybody's doing something and everyone's partying and everyone's swearing, and you say right there at school, you say, you know what? I love my Jesus too much to do that. That's the most powerful words you can say. You can't just say it in the church. You can say it here, but you got to be able to say it out there in the world. He didn't want him to make it in the dining room. He said, come to the door. Look at the lights. Look at the fame. Look at all the liberties. Look at all the sinful pleasures. Look at what Hollywood has to offer you. Look at everything that hell has to offer you. You know what? You can walk out today. You're free to go. But you have to make a choice. The only way he can say, stay, is to plainly say, I love my master. Hell's fire won't keep you in church. It may bring you to church, but it won't keep you in church. Is that right, Bishop Downs? Only one thing's going to keep you. It's when you can plainly say, I love my master. We think about what might have brought us to church. And I know a lot of you well. And your testimony and what may have brought you here. Lots of things can bring us here. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Some of us just came to church because we didn't want to go to hell. Because we were fearful of God. And if that's, it's good enough, if that brought you to the house of God, then that's good. But it will never be enough to keep you in the house of God. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, but it will never be the ending. At some point in your life, you got to stop fearing God. Yeah, you keep fearing God, but stop letting that be the motivation of everything that you do. And let the motivation of everything you are, everything you do, everything you say be the fact that you love Jesus Christ. I may have come to church because I was scared of going to hell, but you got to fall in love with Jesus at some time. Fear may start you, but fear will never complete you. You've got to come to the point where you can say, I love my master. But the scripture goes on further and says, you only get to take out what you brought in. Some people think that they can just come into church and get their life all sorted, get their life back on track, and after they've got their life all straightened out and after they've gotten all cleaned up and they've gotten it all right, they're like, you know what? Wow, God help me. I got off the drugs. I got off the booze. I got my life straightened out. God got me a job. I'm blessed. You know what? I don't need the church anymore. And they think that they can just walk out that door and still have the blessing of God on their life. They think that they can walk out the door and still have the peace of God on their life. They think that they can walk out the door and still have everything that they got in the master's house. But I want to tell you today, if you walk out that door, you don't get to take anything that you got in here. When you walk out the door, you get to take out what you brought in. What did you bring in? Fear. Discouragement, addictions, loneliness, questions, sin. That's what you get to take out because that's what you brought in. And that's the biggest lie the devil could ever say to us is now your life's so good. Why don't you just go back and live in the world again? You can't take it out of the master's house. You can't take it. Some people think that they can walk out of church and walk away from God after they've got everything that they need. They think they can walk out and go back to the world and not be the way that they were. I'll never be like I was before. No, the Bible says you'll be worse, like a dog returning to its vomit. You can't take the peace or joy you received in the master's house. All you can take out is what you brought in. Remember it? Can you remember what you brought in? That's why we got to remember where God has brought us from. Can you remember what you brought in? The heartache, the confusion, the tears, the pain, the suffering. If you want to go, yes, the door is open. It swings both ways. But all you can take is what you brought. You can't take what God gave you in his house. And I'd love to say, close the door. But God's word says it's a door that no man can shut. I'd love to say, close that door. We have them in here now. They're doing well. They're living for God. They have been blessed. And close the door. And God says, no, leave the door open. I will not let anybody close it. I don't want anybody serving God because they feel pressured to. It has to be their choice. They have to be serving me because they love me. In John chapter 6, as I finish, Jesus called for a complete commitment from his disciples. Complete commitment. He said there needs to be a oneness between his disciples and himself. And he said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he was calling for a complete commitment. And you know what? They were offended by that. Many were offended. Look, in verse 66, we skip down. It says, from that time, many disciples walked back and they didn't walk with him anymore. What did Jesus do? Come back, come back. Hey, I'll change it up a little bit. Take back what I said. Yeah, I'm going to say it something a bit nicer. Cancel that. No, he didn't chase after them. He said, I'll water it down. No. Jesus said to the others, he goes, well, they walked away. Will you also go away? Are you here? Or are you going? There's the door. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of life. That's the second thing that's going to keep you in the house of God. The first one is a love for Jesus. And the second one is a love for his word. The flower may fade, the grass may wither, but the word of God is forever settled in heaven. These are the words of life. When you're down to your lowest point, these are the words that can bring you back again. These are the words that can bring light and life to your darkest hour. You gotta love Jesus and you gotta love his word. The Bible says the majority of them left. Jesus didn't say, please, please don't leave. He didn't say, I'm begging you to stay. He just said, well, the door swings both ways. Lord, only you have the words to eternal life. You got to love the word. You got to love the word. You got to love the word. You know, sometimes the word's going to offend us. Sometimes it's going to correct us and rebuke us and instruct us in righteousness. You got to love the word. Love the word. Listen, when it knocks the daylights out of you, love the word. Love the word when you open it and it seems to hit you right between the eyes. Love the word of God. Love the word when it treads on your toes. Love the word because there is nothing else. Only his word has the words of eternal life. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, the word, and nothing shall offend thee. If you love the word of God, there is nothing that is going to stop you. You see, brothers and sisters, and I conclude right now, there is a door set before the church, an open door, and the door swings both ways. There's nothing keeping you here. You can do whatever you want. God has given you a free will. God doesn't want anybody serving him because they feel forced to, because they have to. No, no, no. The door is open. It's your choice. You got to be able to say, I love my Jesus. When he takes you to the door, the master says, that's what's on the offer. And some of us can remember what this world had to offer. It wasn't much. Maybe on the weekends it was good, but then heartache and all sorts of mess just to look forward to another weekend which never fulfilled us, never satisfied us. We've got to be able to look at all of that and say, no, I love my Jesus too much. Everything about this Christian walk is about loving Jesus. Everything. Don't put the cart before the horse. No, get everything in the right order. Establish a love for Jesus. There's no stopping you when you love Jesus. You're gonna be on fire for him when you love him. Your life is going to change. Why? Not because of preaching necessarily. Preaching's going to help, but it's going to help you because you love Jesus. Let's all stand in this place today. I pray that God would put in us a fresh love for Him. Do you love Jesus tonight? Can you renew your love for Him tonight? Can you just as a mature Christian maybe get some things back in the right order and say, you know what? I've got to get back just to loving Him. That everything I do in life would be motivated for a love for the Master. That I would get back to a love for the Word of God. That I would get back into the Word and reading and letting the Word speak to me. That I love it, even though it may hit me between the eyes and make me feel uncomfortable. But have a love for the Word. The only thing that's going to keep you is a love for the Master and a love for His Word. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. God wants to renew that love tonight. Refresh our hearts. Lord, renew in me, Lord, a fresh passion for You, Lord God, and a fresh love for Your Word, oh God. Hallelujah. Come on, just pray right now. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I want to love You more than I've ever loved You, God. Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to abandon myself to You, Lord Jesus. Give us a fresh love for You and Your Word, oh God, that will keep us, oh God, in this day, in this hour, oh God, in this sinful world, oh God, that we would love You, that everything we do would be motivated by a love for You. Come on, lift our hands. Let's surrender to Him right now. We love You, Jesus. The door swings both ways, brothers and sisters.